story.
We want it been.
Welcome to episode 190 of the Smugglers Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy. It's Glenn with Jason, and my God, it's been a week. Jason, how you doing?
I'm here. It's been a week. Yeah. I went to Gay, Georgia. That's a place.
Yes.
It's out in the middle of nowhere, and my company does an annual Clay's shoot, but it's down south near Noonan, so I was able to go into Full Circle Toys.
I love me some Full Circle Toys.
But I was a little disappointed with their Star Wars selection. I felt like, again, Second Chance had a bigger selection of Star Wars items.
It depends on when you hit them, because I know that last time I was there, they had a big shelf in the back, a big display in the back full of like Galactic Heroes and modern stuff.
Those are still there.
Okay, and then they had a couple of rows, or a couple of aisles of other things, you know, maybe cheaper things.
Yeah.
And then if they have vintage stuff, it's normally up front. Like the higher end stuff is normally at the counter.
Oh, I skipped that completely. I didn't see that.
If they have it, right, because that counter's got, it's like four display cabinets that cause the cell section. Yeah. And if there's the higher end stuff is normally right there, I guess, so they can either keep track of it or, you know, it's easier to get to or whatever. But that's where they keep the at least in my experience, that's where the high end stuff has been.
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't see any of that stuff. There was one item that I was debating if I should include in the exhibition for Rogue Fun, and they had it.
Yeah.
And my company gave me a $50 spot. Bonus kind of gift card for volunteering. I put volunteering in quotes.
Right.
For this Clay's thing. So I went back and I purchased this thing. So now I swear the exhibition is done. I'm not buying anything else.
Okay.
But they had the one item and I felt like, I probably should include it. So it's there and it'll be a good time. But Full Circle it's good to check out. It's a really good toy store.
Yeah, no, I if you've got a day, Noonan's a good way to kill it, because not only is it Full Circle, they got Atlanta Brick Company, which is a Lego store. They've got another comic book, I think Heroes and Villains Comics is down there. So there's three stores within half an hour of each other that it makes for a good day. Plus there's some good eats. It's a cool little town. Then if you really want to, I don't know how far Dave's Comics is from there, but you can sometimes tack that on if you feel like making like another 45-minute jaunt to the other side of town. We've done. It's been a long time. I think since Second Chance opened, I haven't really been to Full Circle because Second Chance scratches my itch and it's 20 minutes from the house.
Yeah, you don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah, but if I'm down in Noonan for work, every now and again they send me down there, and they know that I swing by Full Circle and look. I took it one of the like older gentlemen, he was like in his 60s, and he's like, we're going to go to a toy store. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna go to a toy store, we're right here, I'm gonna go look real quick. And he just was like, oh my God, I had all this stuff. I'm like, he's like, all this stuff's worth money. I'm like, yeah, it's worth money. So he after he saw it, he opened his eyes and he was just like, all right, you're not too weird. You know, you could actually make money on this stuff.
I didn't spend too much time in there. They did have some vintage Indiana Jones stuff, which was cool. They had a whole Harry Potter section. They had a good Star Wars section. I was looking for, again, Cantina Aliens, but I didn't see anything that I didn't already have.
Right.
But
yeah, no, I enjoy the store. I'm sorry. And Kelly's a really cool lady.
Other than that, the only thing I picked up this week, I got a Attack of the Clones Vintage Collection Clone Trooper. They've updated that one, but they've given it a new number. So I picked that up.
Got a new hat.
This?
No, 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 no,
you
no,
did.
No.
You got
No,
a new
no,
hat.
no, 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 no. Just the it's a joke. It's I think it's from The Simpsons or something where it's just like, it's got a new hat, I gotta buy it.
Oh, Malibu Barbie or Malibu
Yeah.
Stacy.
Malibu Stacy, right? She's got a new hat.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully, I mean, if I'm being honest, hopefully the yellow won't the clone trooper armor won't yellow fast like previous clone troopers. I think the first release is suffering from that.
Ooh, that's only like what, maybe 10 or 15 years old?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Did you pick anything up?
I picked up some more Galactic Heroes prototypes. And one you might be interested in.
Is it the one behind R2-D2 that I saw in the photo?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was an R2-D2. I got a blue. I thought I had stormtroopers, but I didn't. So I got a blue stormtrooper, a multicolored Chewbacca. The art, did I say the R2 at the R2-D2 with like the jets coming out, and it's got a tracking number on it, so that's cool. And then I found the Walrus Man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yes. So we'll see. No, it was cool. I know the collector that it came from, so it's kind of special to have those in my collection. And yeah, I got them for not what I like paying for them, but better than what they're going for. So I can't complain. So I'm going to go to Second Chance. They were needing the message. Second Chance messaged me, hey, do you have some of this stuff? I'm like, yeah, but I don't know if I want to sell it. And then they're going to, you know, we came up with a price. So I got to go sell some stuff to kind of make up for stuff. Because yesterday, my wife's AC in her car hadn't been working. So she took it to the dealership. And it needs a new compressor. So there goes another 2K up in the clouds.
Well, it's not in the clouds, it's in the car.
Yeah. And she had to put tires on it. So she needed tires, which I can understand tires, you know, tires are tires. But, you know, so yeah. There went $3,000 with the tires just gone, you know, in a car.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So I don't, my
you
wife
got
was
to
talking.
Stop the hemorrhaging money.
Yes, so exactly. My wife was like, I don't think I've ever spent 10K in a week between the car and the septic tank. And yeah, I'm going to try to get my front yard halfway presentable today because it still looks like crap from the septic.
Yeah, I'm going to put on my headphones and clean the garage and the Star Wars room dust. I still have a couple things I have to make for Variety Hour. It's for Rogue Fun. It's, still lots to do.
Yeah, it's getting closer and it's getting like it feels like there's more to do. Like and it's just little things like, oh, you asked me to pick up Sharpies, so you got to go get Sharpies. And okay, then it's like, well, if we get Sharpies, I probably need pen and paper. You know, it's like little things that you know, that's going to drive you crazy.
I got clipboards.
Okay, so we need paper. So, you know, but it's like it's little things. It's like, you know, we're probably going to need pen and paper because people are going to need to do this stuff. And then, you know, you're looking around and not only do you have to hand out badges, but now there's more swag that looks like there's being, you know, stuff, you know, it's just, it's like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be fun. But you know what? We got some awesome volunteers, our wives. And I'm sure they'll do an awesome job.
The swag game is just next level. I was not anticipating when we decided to do this, the level of swag that would be presented during this event. And it's just been killer stuff. And I can't wait to actually see it. And hopefully the event will live up to what's being done with the people.
Right. Well, like we were told last week, because we actually, shoot, you know what? It's going to come out early come out sometime. We were on David Quinn's Prototypes and Productions podcast talking about it, kind of going a little bit more in depth. We're like skim the surface, and he goes in depth podcast. Yeah. So we went in depth with it. And he was saying, he goes, dude, you give me five, I will take four white walls at this point and be happy. Because of the, you know, because, you know, just get me around people. So it's like, I think that's, I hate to say the expectations are that low, but I don't think you know, I think people are just happy to be around people at this point.
Yep. So when this drops, we're on a two-parter with David, and the first part should be available. So after you're finished listening to us, jump on over to Prototypes and Production.
That was another thing that was awesome. No, I think he said it's coming out. This will come out Tuesday. I think his will come
Ours
out
Friday. Should be out Sunday. I thought it was Sunday.
Oh, maybe it'll be out Sunday. I don't. I know it'll be out soon.
Well, this should be out. This should be out Sunday, and then part two should be out the Sunday before Rogue Fun, so people can listen to it as they travel.
Well, there you go. You get to hear our lovely faces or our lovely voices on another podcast. So,
behind the scenes, it was interesting because I went from being interviewer to interviewee, which made me nervous for some reason.
Yeah.
And I was like afraid that I'd be nervous during the variety hour because I'm like, I wasn't expecting to get nervous all of a sudden because the role shifted.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday at this event, I was speaking in front of 500 people without feeling an ounce of nervousness. So I'm fine.
We'll be fine because I think it's going to end up being you and me on doing the variety hour stuff. So it'll be like a little bit of auction, a little bit of game, a little bit of auction, a little bit of game. And I think it'll be fun. It'll work.
Yeah. It'll work.
Out. And then, plus half the people will be eating and not even paying attention to what we're doing. Yeah. So.
And then at the end, I messed up the Prototypes in Production. It was too much pressure. That's the thing.
Because you kept going
Star Wars Prototypes and Production, and I kept putting.
Go ahead. Yeah, you kept putting an extra "and" in there or something.
Yeah. I was focusing on cadence and like other things, and I forgot to focus on the words and whatever. It's going to be fine. You're not even going to know the magic of editing.
Yes, we'll be fine. Yeah, he was like, David was like, I edit. So if you mess anything up, you could just stop and reset and go on. And I'm like, what's editing? I used to edit this podcast, and it just, you get to the point where it's like you're spending 4 hours editing and you're like, I can get this done in 5 minutes if I don't edit.
Yeah.
Because you were like taking cadence out, and every time somebody said I was taking that out and taking out odd pauses, and it got to the point it's not worth it. It's just easier to just leave it all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have so I came home yesterday and I crashed and I watched some YouTube, and Bosk's Bounty, who's a YouTuber, did this whole thing about the HasLab being possibly the cantina.
Uh-huh.
And it got me thinking, because some of these figures that they've made throughout the years, they can't sit. There's only like 5 points of articulation, like Moff Tack. And I'm like,
so they've got no knees.
Yes, they've got no knee articulation. And it's like, do they have to make all of these figures all over again? Because some of these figures, like Hammerhead, he can't sit. Moff Tack can't sit. Boshek, even though he's like at the bar talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi, his knees don't bend. And he's like a 25-year-old figure at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that's going to be an expensive line.
It's a cantina. How many of them are actually sitting, you know? Because you could do a good mix, I think, of people standing at the bar and then people sitting. You know, and I think nobody would care unless you were going to go frame by frame and adjust your cantina to what, you know, movie accurate. But how many people are actually going to try to do that?
Yeah.
And you know, maybe they'll release some figures with it if that's what they're going for. Maybe that, you know, you can get some extra what's it called, tiers, and they'll release some figures that they hadn't released.
It might explain why they released that 7-pack of the Cantina band in the Vintage Collection.
Yeah,
with all the characters.
So you mean they actually planned for this years ahead of time?
If it's true, then yeah. But the only problem is that Cantina band has been sold out for a couple months now. So if people want to get it, they need to re-release that.
Right. Well, maybe they will. Hasbro has never said no to a dollar.
That's true. The other, and a repack too.
And a repack.
The other thing that they need to do is the smoker dude, Danik Jericho, he's got that long pipe and you can kind of see him at one point turning his head.
Yeah.
So in the expanded universe, they made his alien species with, like, instead of a mustache, it's like tentacles that come out of his face. And so Hasbro in the original trilogy collection, I believe, made him with the tentacles, which is not screen accurate. And it's like, at what point do you give them, allow them to have creative freedom? Because like Hemdazon, the first character that pops up, the triangle face guy, we only see him from the neck up. So everything below the neck Hasbro had to make and develop, which I guess, you know, they need their creative liberties. But like when you start adding tentacles to face characters that we see, it's like that's a bridge too far for me. You need to redo that character.
Well, probably because you need them also. Or do you
Well,
have
yeah,
them?
that and if you take the tentacles off his face, he's got these two giant holes, and it just doesn't look good. So, if you're listening, Hasbro, and you're doing the Cantina as the HasLab, redo Danik Jericho. That's not a question or a please. That's a demand.
Ooh, look at you
Yeah,
demanding stuff.
I'm demanding. There is some news.
Yeah, what kind of news we got?
This week, Hasbro announced that there's a new Black Series Mandalorian Privateer, which is essentially just another blue Mandalorian, the Target exclusive. So if you're into your Mandos, you can pick that one up.
It's a shame I quit collecting Black Series because they're coming out with a lot of Mandalorian stuff.
Yeah, and it makes me feel like the rumor that Black Series is more profitable. It's the same cost to produce a vintage collection figure as it is to produce a Black Series figure, but the markup on a Black Series figure is so much more. And so that's why they tend to lean towards the Black Series and make more figures for the Black Series than they do for a vintage collection. Because I would imagine the tooling, the process of making that aluminum mold is the most expensive part. And I would imagine it's probably like $30,000 for a vintage collection figure versus like $35,000 for a Black Series figure
You
to make.
think the molds are that cheap? I thought they were like six figures.
I think it's about the same price as a car. So I think the tooling was like $500,000 for the sail barge. So I would imagine it's a little bit less. I don't know. I'm not in the industry, but I'm just using those numbers like it's
It's
minuscule compared to the larger scale of, you know, the $30,000 versus $35,000 with another five. And when you start selling more Black Series figures, that you make more money on Black Series, which is why they might favor that and make more Black Series than Vintage Collection.
Yeah, I know the vintage collection collectors are getting pretty upset about that.
Yeah. Because it's pretty obvious that they're supporting Black Series more than the Vintage Collection. And when you look at, you know, there's a specialty line for Marvel, which is that Marvel Retro, which is, I guess, their way to compete with the Funko reaction figures. They've got their line of Marvel 3.75, but that's like a very specialty line. For the most part, it's the Marvel Legends. It's 6 inches. It's G.I. Joe. For the most part, it's 6 inch. Like they're supporting a larger scale for the collectors. 3.75 is like a niche market almost. And it's almost like they resent having to make that for the fans.
Well, I mean, when you say it like that, you're 100% right. Because there is no G.I. Joe 4-inch figures anymore. Unless you look like you said, the retro line stuff, which maybe they're gonna push that towards push Star Wars towards that. You don't know. I mean, because the retro line is you see them pushing that line a lot more, and you see them pushing the 6 inches. So maybe they're trying to do that with Star Wars, which would make sense since the other character, like you just said, everything else is a 6-inch figure.
I think the drawback to 6 inch is that it's horrible for world building. You can't have vehicles, you can't have dioramas. It's just cost prohibitive and it's size prohibitive. And yeah, when you look at like the HasLabs for Black Series, the Rancor failed. There's rumors that that Snowspeeder was supposed to be HasLab, and I think they aborted that because it's just not feasible to have. And then you look at the TIE Fighter. That one ended up on clearance just because of its size and its price. So, vintage collection is the best place to do the vehicles. It's world building. It's what kids grew up on. And now we're the kids are now 50, 40-year-old adults who still want to relive those days of world building. And that's why those HasLabs are more successful.
Right. I mean, just look at your cantina, your 6-inch cantina versus Narayan's 4-inch cantina. But in the same footprint, Narayan has like the outside of the cantina where you are like strictly limited to the interior.
Strictly limited, and I'm at like 70, 80% of the cantina.
Right.
It's not
Oh,
even the
wow.
full cantina.
Right. So like Narayan's is a full cantina plus the outside, you know, he's
Yeah.
got stuff happening on the outside. He's got stuff that deleted scene. He's like, that's the deleted scene that they, you know, so it, yeah, I when you say that, yeah, I can understand people being upset and wanting to do world building, because yeah, like that TIE fighter is awesome, but it's freaking huge. And I remember when they introduced it and they were like, oh, it's $160. Everybody was like, excuse me. They were you could see the audible gasp of people when they're like at Toy Fair or something and they're like,
Yeah.
this TIE fighter is $170, and they were just like, what?
Yeah,
So
because it's
yeah.
a different kind of fan base.
Yep.
So, they also revealed this mega droid pack. It has Pelimoto's pit droids. It has Pelimoto's BD unit. It's got Pelimoto's R5D4. There's a figure that's missing in that though. Pelimoto. That was my attempt to be funny. No, they've releasing
Just
all the
like the eras
droids,
of Harris that I
the
didn't
Heirs
laugh
of
at,
Harris,
but
yes.
we got people laughing at that last weekend.
But yeah, there's all these Pelimoto repack droids, but we still don't have a Pelimoto, and I don't know if Pelimoto would actually sell through. I think she'd be a peg warmer,
Right. Well, she
but.
would definitely be, you know, like you said, it would be a niche figure, but you think that they would at least throw her in with that pack. I mean, it wouldn't, to me, it wouldn't be that hard of a repaint. I'm sure you've got a figure that's in a jumpsuit that you can just throw a curly haired head on.
Yeah, you could use a Rose Tico.
Oh, they got plenty of those.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I don't remember who it was, but it might have been Entertainment Earth. They were doing a bundle of a dozen roses for like $20. One off one.
Yep. Gotta sell through somehow. And yeah, so Yak Face reported that Target Systems had the value of 0.00 in their systems for the vintage collection, which got people freaking out that this was the end of the vintage collection. And it's not. Steve Evans went on Instagram. Steve Evans works for Hasbro. He's the vice president of fan relations or something like that, or manager of fan relations. And he confirmed that it's not ending. I don't have any insider information, but I think it doesn't take a Sherlock Holmes to decipher that every time they do a live stream now, they define what a fan channel is.
Yes.
And
At
it
least they're
seems
doing
like.
that now. Because when I heard fan channel, I was like, where am I going to go to find these?
Yeah. And so fan channel, fan channel, fan channel, it's like it's almost becoming more niche hobby, instead of being available everywhere. It's going to be available in the fan channels, Entertainment Earth, Hasbro Pulse, Disney, Shop Disney, or I think it's been rebranded to Disney Store or something like that. But you know, you've got the Retro Collection, which is a lower price, the Black Series, which is a higher price, and then the Vintage Collection, which falls in the middle. You've got the little kids stuff. You know, there's just like four or five different lines competing against each other. It's going to cannibalize one itself, and has it's. I think it's not a stretch. If you go to Target, you see all the vintage collection figures sitting on the store shelves. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to carry something that's just sitting there collecting dust.
Right. Yeah, no, and I mean, yeah, like you said, you know, they've got this Sabine or whatever, this Galactic, it's not a Galactic Heroes, but it's a cheaper red, you know, 4-point articulation, but it's more detailed than the retro figures, and it's not quite, so it's in between a retro figure and a TVC. And but I mean, if I was a parent and I looked at this Sabine figure for $15, I'd be hard pressed to spend $15 on it, because it's got, you know, unless my kid was really into it. And then like the Ahsoka, the ones that aren't deluxe are sitting in like the Easter stuff on clearance at Walmart for like $4 or $5. And, right, you know, they were cool looking figures for that price. But yeah, no, yeah, you're right. There's too much. I think they need to scale something back, but I hope it's, you know, maybe that, what do you think if they were just like going to push TVC to like HasLab, or, you know, take it out of stores and make it a online only type thing?
It's going to happen eventually. I mean, the fans are aging up and they're going to be less inclined to buy this stuff. They won't, you know, it won't resonate, or they'll focus on other things. And I'm sure at some point vintage collection will go away, but I think that this is just part of scaling back, and we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a HasLab exclusive, but you never know.
Right. Well, I mean, when I say HasLab, it's like for the play sets and the vehicles, and, you know, or maybe not even HasLab, but Hasbro Pulse.
Yeah.
You know,
it could be. I mean, the future could be just 3D printing figures. And I don't mean just like in your home, but like figures to order. Mm-hmm. So they'll make a sculpt, they'll release it, and then they'll just leave it on. It's kind of like what they did with the Selfie series. They'll be like $60 figures, but if you want a Hammerhead and they already have the sculpt, you'll just order Hammerhead and he'll come to you in the mail 2 to 3 months later. And I think that might be the future of collecting, where it's going to be really niche and made to order.
You know, they do it with t-shirts, so why not action figures?
Yeah, I think that they're going to get to that point at some point.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I know I keep harking back to like Four Horsemen, but if you really want to get Four Horsemen, you're ordering that stuff online. If you're looking for that on a retail level, you're already behind the eight ball.
Right.
So, I mean, and there's like people with like Big Bad Toy Store that's exclusively who people deal with. So they know, okay, I'm going to go to Big Bad Toy Store to buy this stuff. So yeah, I definitely can feel that maybe coming for, you know, the days of going to a Walmart and buying toys is slowly coming to an end, which is going to stink for little kids, you know, the impulse buying stuff.
Well, I think like the 12 to, they say it's for 6-year-olds, but like that's, I'm not going to give a 6-year-old a Star Wars figure. That just seems a little too advanced. It's like, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. It seems like what they say, well, these toys are for 6-year-olds. Well, it's actually probably more for an 8 to 12-year-old than a 6-year-old.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like an 8 to 12-year-old, that section of the toy store will go away, because those kids are more into the digital toys.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, they'll be a toddler, they'll play with the dolls and the balls and the Lego, but they won't play with the action figures, and that stuff will go away because they're transitioning into their Switches, their Xboxes, their PlayStations, their digital devices, and whatever the case may be.
Right. And I mean, they still are at that age. I mean, I keep going back to my grandson. He's 8 and he's into Lego and he's into Star Wars, but I don't see him. He's more like, I'd rather watch the shows.
Yeah.
You know, he's not into playing. He'll play it when we're together, but he's into role playing. He's like, I want a lightsaber. You know, that's the kind of stuff he wants. He wants to build the Legos. He wants to do the role playing stuff. So I think that may be the section, you know, the figures are, like you said, are going to go away for that person, that age group, I think.
So Forbes released an article back a couple months ago, I reported that Disney touted they made $12 billion off of the purchase of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And Forbes looked at that slide of the presentation Disney had, and they said that there's actually a couple asterisks there, and they started digging into the truth of the matter.
Right.
In the UK, that's why. So Star Wars, the movies itself, have been filmed in the UK because of tax incentives. They get tax breaks. But as part of that, all that information becomes public data.
Mm-hmm.
And so Forbes went into that and they looked into it. So when you factor all the losses the company has made because of Star Wars, they're actually short of breaking even on the $4.5 billion purchase they made.
Wow.
So, for example, the Force Awakens made $2.1 billion, but the budget for the movie was about $410 million after the tax incentives and rebates. The budget for Rise of Skywalker was $4.2 million. It grossed over $1 billion, but the profit was only about 300 million because when you factor in, so yeah, the tax rebate, they get that back, marketing, the production of the movie, the 300 million, the billion comes down to 300 million once you start factoring all that stuff. No, I'm sorry. That's not, hold on. My information here is messed up. I'm looking at this wrong and I'm still waking up. No. Rise of Skywalker, they only made $90 million on that after all the production stuff. They made about $300 million on The Force Awakens. Solo, they estimated to have lost $90 million
Wow.
because they had to reshoot the movie. And so we're not going to see a Solo 2 any time soon. It mentions Indiana Jones 5 and Willow. They spent $100 million on Willow. How do you factor in how much profit you made when it's a Disney Plus show?
Right.
It's not like you're going to the theater for that. They lost $134 million on Indy 5. They spent about $70 to $80 million just in development when Spielberg was still the director. He stepped away at that time. They had a script, sets were being built. He decided this is just not for me. And that's when James Mangold stepped in. So when he stepped in, they were already about $100 million in the hole for Indiana Jones.
Wow.
That probably could have been profitable had that not happened. I mean, that they would have lost 34 million, and that wouldn't have been such an embarrassment for Disney. So it's a lot there, depending on who you read. Some people think that they've broken even. Some people think they're about 300 million away from breaking even. So, you know, Disney kind of flubbed the numbers. Yes, they've profited $12 billion from Star Wars. It's not factoring in action figures and licensing fees, but the movies and TV shows alone, it's pretty interesting to see that, you know, they're kind of short of making the $4.5 billion purchase from George Lucas. But it's just a matter of time. If they keep going at this pace, yeah, it's going to take longer to get there. But if they have the Mandalorian movies profitable, the Rey movies profitable, anything else that they've got in the pipeline, they'll eventually break even.
Right. Yeah, no, I hopefully that Mandalorian movies will make money, but I think it's 2 years out. I mean, you know, I think Grogu is gonna lose its his charm, maybe. You know, maybe some of the kids will grow out of it, but maybe some of the kids, you know, you'll have a new set of kids that'll be like, I gotta go see that.
Yeah. I mean, there's people who watch The Mandalorian who've never seen a Star Wars show
Yeah.
or a Star Wars movie, and they're into The Mandalorian. So I'm hoping those are the people that go to The Mandalorian movie, that it helps break box office records, that it helps Disney and Star Wars and strengthen the brand.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, with Disneyland and Galaxy's Edge, and you know, maybe that'll help bring people into the, you know, into the fold, and they'll understand and maybe want to figure out who the Mandalorian is. I hope anyway.
The only other piece of news that I had, I mean, that I don't want to drill into all the dollar amounts, but and bore people, but the only other, because you can get into more detail, I would recommend going to the Forbes article and reading that yourself, and go to the Jedi Temple Archives article, because they go into, like, at the end of the day, Rise of Skywalker made this. I think Rogue One actually made $240 million is its total profit, after you factor in marketing and the production costs and all that stuff. So if you're interested in that, go check that out. The Jazzwares Vault this time around is dropping for May. The Series 3 light armored class vehicles, if I remember that right. It's the Chase, the Rare, and then the three vehicles that were available, which was Anakin, Obi-Wan, and the V-Wing. It's just a clone trooper vehicle, but then also Plo Koon and Aayla Secura ship, which were the tough ones to find. They're releasing this in a limited set of 1500, which means that only 3500 of those vehicles, especially for, I think Plo Koon was a 5,000. So only 3,500 actually hit the toy shelves. 1,500 were saved for this limited set.
I mean, were they purposely saving it, or was that sort of an accident, you know, a happy little accident that they found 1,500 of them? Or, you know, I mean, because the when we talked to the people at Jazzwares, it felt like they were basically, yeah, we may 5,000 is a number, but we're not going to make five. That's the most we're going to make. We may not even make 5,000. We make, like you said, 3,500. So, I mean, is that something to where they made the 3,500 and we're like, oh, we've got to, you know, make the other 15 and then we can sell them in the set. That would be my guess, because it, I don't know. Yeah, you're going to get me going on Jazzwares, and it just, it's a,
Well, we're not
yeah,
complaining. I'm just
I'm not
reporting.
complaining. Right. We're just, we're, yeah.
I
You
promise
know,
that we wouldn't complain about Jazzwares
I'm
this
not
week.
going to
We're just
complain,
reporting.
but I was at a Target. I do have like a Target report. I
Okay.
saw two, huh?
Okay.
Well, no, just what I saw, which kind of surprised me. I saw two of the retro Phantom Menace packs were sitting on the shelf at a Target. And then I was looking, and then at another Target, I was looking in the Star Wars section and didn't really see anything. And then I rounded the corner, and on an end cap were four of the N1 Starfighters and four of whatever that Naboo ship is just sitting there. And I was
Yeah.
like, that's kind of odd that they would. I mean, I don't remember what part of town I was in, but it was, you know, it just kind of struck me as odd that that stuff would just be sitting on a shelf when people have been having issues finding them.
Yeah. I don't want to complain.
You can
I mean,
complain. You can.
it seems like people want the chases and rares because it's the profitability. You can sell
Right.
that on the secondary market. This stuff, which is readily available, you know, the people who want it will get it. If not, then it's not something the scalpers want to purchase because there's no profit to be made.
And that's on Jazzwares because that's what they do. But anyway, you want to lighten the mood?
Sure.
You want to go for Star Wars jad jokes?
Sure.
You know we're going to do it till I'm done with the
Yeah.
book.
Yeah.
All
No,
right,
I.
so I'm going to open it up. These, come on. I'm going to open. Okay, so I'm going to read like two of them because I think four is just a little bit. Have you met the rogue and archaeologist Dr. Afra?
Yeah.
Her career is in ruins.
That could be an India. Okay. That could be an Indiana Jones joke.
It sure could. All right, so I'm gonna go to one more because, or maybe, all right. So I'm gonna read two more, and then because reading four is just weird. Because what happens is some of these pages have like one joke, and some of them have two. Why is the shofar droid so tired?
Why is a chauffeur droid so tired?
Yes.
I don't know.
It had a hard drive.
Okay.
Why doesn't the Mos Eisley Cantina serve droids?
Because it had a hard drive.
They're always short on cash. And cash is spelled
I
like.
see a. That one was good. I'll give it to that. That one was good.
My wife keeps telling me we need to put our, like, the what's the internal temperature of a tauntaun?
Lukewarm.
Yeah, it's like those, everybody knows those. So she's like, you need to write those in the book too. And I'm like, I don't
Everybody
know.
knows those.
Right. Those are like normal star. Those are good dad Star Wars dad jokes. These are just, hey, there's a dad joke. Let me turn it into Star Wars. But anyway,
Yeah.
there it's from the Star Wars dad joke book by Kelly Knox, if you guys are looking for it. I found that on Amazon for $15. But hey, guess what? We're saving you the $15 and dragging this bit out for I don't know, 100 episodes maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see
Good
how far
Lord.
it goes.
Oh, don't send us your bill for the optometrist that had to see you because you kept rolling your eyes and it started to pain your muscles in the back of your eyes. Please. But yeah. What else?
No, I just have a. It's not, and we. So, have you watched? Do you watch any of the Fallout show?
I watched Amazon? 3 episodes. Oh, okay. I wanted to talk Bad Batch, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we can talk Bad Batch because I think it rolls. It's the two sides of the same coin, or so, okay. You know, whatever. So like with, sorry, I just saw you said Bad Batch, and my mind went psh, with Fallout. They released everything at once, and with Bad Batch, So they released all the 8 episodes at once, and then with Bad Batch, it's weekly.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
Probably binging, but I do like the experience of seeing something and then waiting and talking and then seeing something and waiting and talking. Whereas it seems like when you drop something all at once, it becomes part of the collective conscious for a week or two, and then it's just gone. But if you drop it every week, it becomes a conversation for a couple months.
This is going to become a boring segment because it's exactly how I feel. I feel the same way because, like, we've been talking Bad Batch for 2 months.
Yeah.
3 months by the end of it. Fallout, you're like, huh?
And it would have been one episode discussion.
Right. And then Fallout it's like, okay. And we binged it too because it was just so good. And it's 45-minute episodes, so you can watch 2 episodes a night, and in a week you're done. And it just feels like there wasn't a whole lot of talk about it. I mean, you saw a little bit of talk about it, and now, I mean, it made me want to go back. It made me this morning. I booted up Fallout and started it over again, just because I want to play it. Let's see what happens with it. Maybe I can play it with a fresh set of eyes. I'm the same way. It does feel. And it feels like when you got to wait a week for everything, it's more dramatic. Because when, like, I binged like Breaking Bad and stuff, you were realizing that people had to wait. Like, if there was a cliffhanger, you had to wait a week for that cliffhanger, and it feels like you missed something. You missed the anticipation where you can just hit next episode, so stuff doesn't sink in as much.
Mm-hmm.
So. You sound bored already with this conversation.
No, I mean, there's nothing. We're on the same page. Okay,
we're great. Fine. You don't want me to just be like, no, I like it being binged. But all right, I was just curious. I thought it would be a better conversation, but we can talk Bad Batch. Let's talk Bad Batch.
I also can't sit through 8 hours of TV in a day.
No, I can't do that.
Personally, so, I mean, it's easier for me to digest, like, once a week kind of TV shows. Like, I tried binge watching Breaking Bad, and I got about season and a half in, and I moved on because it's just like, this is too much too soon.
Right.
But I have to go back and finish that at some point.
I think Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul are some of the best, best TV in the last 5 or 6 years.
Oh, go ahead.
No. It's just a good dramatic, shot cinematically. It you need to go back, do yourself a favor, and start watching it again.
Well, speaking of bad, in the Bad Batch, it seems like, so they explain part of the problem with Project Necromancer. So they're trying to clone with Force sensibility in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the Empire is struggling to do that. Like, it doesn't take. They'll try to clone someone with Force powers, but they can't do it. It's almost like it's attached to the individual. And I would imagine, knowing how the spiritual philosophy that Lucas, that Filoni have, that it's the soul that has the ability to use the Force, not the body.
Okay.
And so they might be creating a soul, but it's not a soul that came with the Force sensibilities. Or maybe it's just a defensive mechanism with the Force itself. Like, you can't just have an army of Force users. The Force is blocking that. It's got some way to counterbalance that. So, but that's what is unique about Omega, is that she is a clone who has the Force power. So she's got an M count higher than it should be. And it shouldn't be something that should exist, because the Empire cloning facility can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
If I understood that correctly, what are your thoughts?
I didn't go as deep as that, but yeah, it does. What am I trying to say? There's something unique about her. And yeah, like you said, it's like, maybe they can use her M count. I think it's the same thing. And then it even goes back into Grogu. as to why they wanted his blood, because he's got the high M count and it could be duplicated.
Well, I think at this point they want to understand why Omega was able to be cloned with an M count.
Right.
Because they can't do it.
Okay.
But it was heartbreaking to see the Empire steal the baby, for crying out loud. Yeah. It's just a baby.
Yeah, thanks for getting that stuck in my wife's head.
It's just a baby.
And I also feel like Project Necromancer, there's another door that we're missing.
Yeah, it's getting a little frustrating to see a vault of just three kids. This is Project Necromancer. We're hiding three kids. It's like, what?
Yeah.
That's not right.
No, I there's got to be a door that's like off to the right that they're going to walk through one day, and it'll be the Emperor sitting there, or Snoke or something. Because it just doesn't feel right. It's like,
it
man,
you
were like, there's this whole buildup. And even when they brought Omega in to see Project Necromancer, I was like, oh, it's going to be awesome. Maybe it'll be something we hadn't seen before. And it's the freaking kids.
Yeah. So did the Emperor come in and just look at the kids and go, oh, they're cute little babies.
Pull my finger, youngling.
At least we know what you do with kids now.
Yeah.
Jeez. But yeah, I mean, it's anticlimactic is basically what we're trying to say. It's like, we expect to see all these test tubes with like Snoke looking creatures, maybe with a Palpatine that's deformed, and we've got three teens,
right,
who are just playing games and are bored as hell.
Yeah, it was Ted that said that one beast looking kid. The one looks like Beast or Beast Man from X-Men.
Beast Boy. I think that's Teen Titan.
Oh, okay. No, Teen Titan. Yeah, he said Beast, and it took me a minute when we watched it. I'm like, that's not the Beast, but it looks like another character from another show.
Nah, it's Beast Boy.
Okay. And it is very, it's very annoying when you know, you're expecting this great reveal and it's just those same damn like four kids.
Beast Boy.
Oh, there you go. Yes, that is Beast Boy.
So in conclusion, we've got 2-3 episodes left in the Bad Batch.
I think it's only two, because you were griping that the last one comes out the same time as Rogue Fun.
It should be the same week. So yeah, two episodes left, and then May 4th they drop Tales of the Empire.
Right. Which, so, dude, have you seen the amount of stuff that's going on for May 4th?
Yeah.
I'm just like, son of a gun. No, I'm looking forward to what we're doing. I'm looking forward to Rogue Fun. And there's no way you can run around Atlanta doing everything for May the 4th. It's like somebody messaged me, Rodney messaged me. He goes, hey, I'm having a thing and he moved to a place in Cumming, and he's doing the 400 flea market in Cumming. He's doing something that day. And then I had somebody message me that Galactic the comic book store in Buford, Galactic Quest, they wanted the Star Wars Club to come out. Nerd, you asked us to come out. And I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. We are booked.
A little too busy, gents. And ladies, we apologize. It's funny to me when I hear people go, that's not Star Wars Day. May 4th isn't Star Wars Day. I'm like, tell that to the flood of water rushing in your face. This is Star Wars Day, whether you want to be on board or not.
Right. It's just it's just a way to do it. It's just a way to have fun with it. It's May 4th, May the 4th. Whatever. It's fine. You know, I don't know why people, I mean, yes, every day is Star Wars Day, but if we can celebrate it, let's celebrate it. I mean, if they wanted it to be the release of the original of A New Hope, they should have, somebody should on a marketing team should have started that, not May 4th.
They say May 25th when Star Wars came out originally.
Yeah.
That's Star Wars Day. And I'm like, well, the marketing push doesn't seem to agree with you. May 4th right. is Star Wars. Tell that to the 501st who's been booked up over a year. That's Star Wars Day.
Right. So May 4th is and it's on a Saturday. So it's, yeah, May 4th makes a lot more sense than May 25th. Sorry.
That's the reason why we picked May 4th, is we were looking at dates for Rogue Fun. Mm-hmm. We were thinking August. Maybe we do it over like a Memorial Day weekend. And it just seemed like, well, people go on vacations in August, people go on vacations Memorial Day weekend. It's like, well, if we can't do this in a way that pleases everyone, let's just do it in a way that makes sense. And May 4th made sense because it is Star Wars Day and we'll have everyone together, all our friends. So that's the reason why we picked that date.
Right. No, I like it. I'm not complaining. I was just like, it's funny how it's just the floodgates have opened for everybody doing something on May 4th, and it's free comic book day. So there's, I mean, if you're coming out for Rogue Fun, you will have a busy morning running around town for free comic book day. And Plastic Empire is going to have the actor who played Cad Bane in The
Yeah.
Mandalorian doing autographs.
You shouldn't be putting your nose in places. What does he say? You shouldn't be putting your nose where it doesn't belong.
Right. Well, Cad Bane, you ain't got no nose.
That was such a cool scene when you see him walking in the desert and it's just like, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? And it's Cad freaking Bane.
Yeah.
One of the highlights of the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
It should have been just the struggle between Cad Bane and Boba Fett or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That Book of Boba Fett was such a letdown. It could have been so much better than I'm gonna take over for Jabba and become fat.
Well, I don't think Boba Fett meant to get that way. I think the actor was. I
Well,
mean,
no,
we get
I'm not
husky in our older ages.
right. Oh yeah, trust me, I'm dealing with that right now. I have no complaints about somebody getting fat. That's like the pot meet the kettle. But I just mean that he's gonna, because Bib Fortuna, I didn't mean it as that way. I just meant that instead of being action, he goes and sits on the throne instead of fighting. And
Yeah.
instead of getting the Boba Fett I wanted, we got the old Boba Fett that sits on a throne because he has arthritis and it hurts every time he wakes up in the morning.
Yeah, well, he can just get a digital spine implanted into his back with the what do they call them? I forget now.
The
The mechanic,
mods.
the mods. I was gonna say the mechanics, the mods.
The mods. And he can learn how to play bass. Really awesome.
It's all about that bass.
Yeah. Well, the guy who played the thing is he's oh God, his name, but he's like a famous bass player.
He's not that famous if I don't know him.
Yeah, well,
That
you'd
was a
have
joke.
to, yeah.
His name isn't Flea. Flea was in Obi-Wan.
Oh yeah.
Boom, ba-da-ba-da-boom, ba-da-boom,
Bomba don da ba na da ba na da bomba don ba ba
See,
da da
you do
ba
it
na da.
better than I do because you're a bass player.
Yep.
Allegedly, you've never played on this podcast, so therefore, it's not true.
I know you wanted me to record it one time, and I just never did it. I tried it, and I'm like, I couldn't get it to sound good, but maybe I'll try again.
Just add more reverb. Isn't that a thing?
Yeah. Yes. I recorded it in my bathroom. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Was listening to Foo Fighters. The sky is, what is it? I don't remember the song. It's one of their newer songs, but they
Yeah.
recorded it in the stairway because of the acoustics in there.
Right.
It's got lots of echo. The sky is a neighborhood or something like that. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I think that's it. We're getting yelled at, but
I don't care.
right.
Don't at me though.
At
I don't care that much either.
everyone.
At everyone. So, but yeah, I got a list here of things I got to do today to kind of get closer to finishing up stuff for Rogue Fun. And then Mark Rusciano, our live events producer, he doesn't like, the step and repeat.
Yeah.
And so, you know how we have ours, but it's a tripod stand.
Right.
And then the 501st, they just had flat metal
Yes.
feet. So ours is going to look like that, the flat metal feet. But in most places, they put like flowers or something there to kind of hide and obscure the metal.
Right.
So he's like, hey, do you have anything for that? I'm like, oh, great. Just add something else. I got to figure out how to hide these things. So I got to come up with something because,
So,
I
are we
mean, I
getting a
could.
new step and repeat, or are we just using the one we have?
No, we're not using it. We're renting Pipe and Drape
Okay.
for the background, but the Pipe and Drape will have feet, so I got to figure out how to obscure like four of them. I mean, I've got my Gonk Droid and I've got my 3D printed arts and crafts are too, but they kind of look hobbyish. They don't look professional, so I wouldn't want to put them out.
I've got a R2D2 and a C3PO. We could cover one of them up with.
How big?
15 inches, maybe 2 feet.
Is it a Jack specific?
Yeah, I think the R2, I mean the 3PO is a Jak specific, and the R2 is like a different kind of R2. It's not a Jak specific, but the scale's a little off, but it's not bad.
Yeah, maybe I
I'll
have
send you a
that too.
picture. Okay,
Because
well then maybe we can do a couple of them.
before I got into customization, like I felt like Hasbro was like holy ground and you just don't touch Hasbro figures. So I purchased the Jack specific stuff. I got the C-3PO with the red arm
Yeah.
and I painted it. I sanded it down and I did the whole thing to try to repaint it and make it look like it came out of the movie. And I think it turned out really well. But so I have those if we want to put something out like that, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Just trust in Mark.
Trust in Mark and stuff will get done.
Right.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it. One
You
more
get it.
thing.
What?
You miss it. I'm trying to let you lead into it, and you're just like, huh?
Well, I thought you were going into another topic. I didn't know you were
No,
trying to
no.
set me up for a slam dunk, so try it
No.
again.
I just think we have one more thing to do, Jason.
And that would be to thank our listeners for listening to the Smugglers Galaxy podcast. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. It really helps us out and points people to a show. You can follow us on social media. You can message us. We love emails and we love to make you part of our show. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. And thank you to Alfonso Riviera for the Smugglers Galaxy logo. People collect for the love of it. Hashtag vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you've learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community. Listen to David Quinn's Prototypes and Production Podcast.